more than 6 weeks ago when I wasn't on the committee. Robert Amsterdam, a lawyer for Thailand's Red Shirt movement, who has also represented clients including Mikhail Khodorkovsky, Kim.com, and a politician called Chee Soon Juan in Singapore, was originally going to talk to us on the prospects for durable peace in Thailand. That was after the judicial ouster of the government of Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra. After the May 22nd coup, Robert asked if Jakrapob Pinkaya, a founder of the Red Shirt movement, a former journalist, a former spokesman for Thaksin Shinawatra, and a minister in an elected government himself, could join Mr. Amsterdam as a speaker. The FCC has previously hosted Thaksin himself, as many of you will know, as well as the then Prime Minister Abhisit, who was of course politically opposed to Mr. Thaksin. One of the great things about this club is the diversity of opinions and perspectives that our members have and are interested to hear. The committee agreed to this request. We announced the talk 2 weeks ago, as we always do for all talks. After that, the Thai consulate contacted us and proposed that Dr. Panattan Wattanayagong, whose picture you see on the slide, a former spokesman for Abhisit, professor at Chulalongkorn University, join the talk. The FCC's committee considered this and thought that this would be good for a more informative event. Mr. Amsterdam kindly agreed to that request that he speak with them. But at that stage, for reasons that Mr. Jakrapob may like to explain or not, his travel plans didn't make it convenient for him to come, and he decided not to come and speak. On Monday, the consulate told us that Dr. Panattan was now unable to take leave from his university to come and speak. Rather than reissue a new flyer and cause more confusion, we left the flyer as it still is now. And then yesterday, we heard the happy news that Mr. Jakrapob was able to come to Hong Kong. And I don't know what, you may have read that actually there was an arrest warrant issued by a Thai military court against him on Monday, but he was able to come, and he was willing to speak, and so here he is now, as originally advertised. For those of you who signed up hoping to hear Dr. Panattan, the FCC has of course told the consulate that despite the inconvenience and misunderstanding our members may have had, the club will be happy to hear their suggested speakers and consider them, as it does from all its members and friends. Without further ado, and I apologize for that lengthy introduction, but I felt that we should address it. Can I ask to come to speak to us on the fight for Thailand's democratic future, Mr. Jakrapob Pinkaya? Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Douglas Wong, the governors, members of the Foreign Correspondent Club, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jakrapob Pinkaya, and as Douglas kindly introduced me to you, I today represent the Organization of Free Thais for Human Rights and Democracy, which can be branded as a resistance movement to the coup leadership and the military junta regime in Thailand now. We use these words clearly and explicitly because we would like you, as the medium to the world for us, to understand our plight without any ambiguity. But of course, the legend of the FCC here is not only about what I or any speaker have to say, but it's about your question to follow this. And I'll be very willing to answer any questions, negative, positive, because I'm convinced that any questioning from distinguished members such as this would get us further. in the understanding and in hoping that Thailand would return to sanity. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't have a prepared text, so I'll be speaking to you in points, and I hope it would be coherent enough for you to understand our plight. Let me tell you a few words on what Thailand is up to now, what's wrong with Thailand now, and what's actually going on now. In Thailand, what has already governed the whole political situation is the stories and the perceived truth about the royal palace. That's the issue in Thailand, has always been. And all the other economic transactions or social interactions are made to be secondary or even thirdly. There is a concern prior to the coup that there might be some change in that. But the situation has been made that a group of people, led by people like Thaksin Shinawatra, had came into arena and messed the whole thing. Thailand has always been good, you know. Just love the king and everything would be good. That's the idea given to us all along. Is it true? Is it compatible with what Thailand really is today? Many of our people and some international friends would like to perceive Thailand as a postcard, still and not moving. Be there, be good. 25 years ago, I visited Thailand, I would like it to be the same today. Hong Kong is not the same. China is not the same, and everywhere is not the same. We have new generations of people, we have social networks, and then we have new hopes and new expectations for our lives. So the governing body, the political regime or system, have to be accordingly, have to be adjusted as well. All right, what they're saying now is, because of the turbulences of the war of colors for so many years, the military intervention in terms of the coup d'etat is a good thing. They try to say that. They try to say that the military came in and everything would be calmed down, everyone would like it, we can go back to be the land of smiles without knowing what those smiles mean. It's not at all like that. The whole turbulences that made to Thailand in the past years have been either instrumental or let happen by the military establishment itself. The military establishment is not the only culprit, but they are the main tool that can really control the situation physically in Thailand. And all these power brokers and power groups which are paranoia about losing their big patron have been moving so vividly to get their chair or their standing point when that happens. This really causes the turbulences in Thailand in the past years. I work for Thaksin Shinawatra, so I'll be an advocate for him. And I know what he's been accusing of, a crook, a corrupted politician, a man who wants to be president of Thailand. These are all the accusations. I would address them all today, if you like. My point is, I work with him, and I look up close what kind of person he was and is. And I find that if he would have committed any crime, it is a crime of being naive. He went to the political scene in Thailand believing that Thailand is already a democracy, and it's not. So all of these pluralistic public policies, which are called populism policies, have been implemented in Thailand with a thought that it was already a democracy. So he has been so naive how the reactions from the powers that be would be. I had been there since, many years now, 10 years. I started off by being his government spokesman, so I would have to be keen in defending him, right? But I also saw that the demonization they made to him is much more exaggerated. He's a businessman, sometimes insensitive to social plight. But that's to the extent that I have seen. And with the royal family, I don't even want to defend him on that regard, but it had to be said that he's more royal and loyal than so many people I have known. Do you think these generals who came to power and invoked 112 law, that His Majesty, time after time, are loyal to the king? Are they helping the king or jeopardizing him by fighting more political of conscience, I mean prisoners of conscience, under his brand name? So I just want to give some thoughts for you to help figure, because it is a sophisticated group, and you know a lot about Thailand already before I tell you. So what I found is, in Thailand, if you do not restructure the social, political, and economic platform, it would be very hard to implement any public policy that would empower the lower economic classes to be on par or even higher. There is such a resistance to that move. There are people who actually went on the anti-Ying Lak government, or part of the government in the past that was overthrown, had a ball of saying that people are truly not equal. People are not equal, so we cannot impose democracy in Thailand fully. They had the ball of saying that on the stage with thousands of people listening. And someone asked them, so what would be your measure of running a country then? They said, we can do it this way. It's just a suggestion. If you have a PhD, you get 3 votes. Master's degree, 2 votes. Bachelor's degree, 1 vote. If you're not graduated, then face it, you shouldn't have a vote anyway, because you're too stupid to vote or to decide for your own fate. This is not the 21st century. It's probably 19th or 18th century, medieval. So Thailand has been seeing the modern economy occurring to it with the political situation is still in the medieval years and time. That's a problem here. That's why there's a coup. Some people need to protect this old-timers' thinking and not allowing the country to go to the democratizing phases. So they have to do this. So what happened now? People have been repressed. People have been intimidated, bullied. The propaganda of the military that they came in and everyone was happy, a happy coup, is simply not true. People don't say a lot. People don't say a word because they could not and they cannot. They have been intimidated. They have been bullied. The UDD leaders, I helped founding the UDD, the United Front of Democracy Against Dictatorship, UDD, and which Chattopon was president. I helped founding that a few years ago. And I learned from my colleagues that people like the former president of UDD, like Professor Thida or Chattopon, the then current president, was bullied to such a degree that a hood was put on their head. And they were taken on a helicopter with some surrounding sound that they might be pushed and thrown out of the helicopter any time. I don't think they have the intention to do that, to be fair to you. But the intimidation could go that far in Thailand. Lots of people had been detained without warrants. Sometimes they got to the person, they couldn't find the person, they got the wives and the spouses and the children instead. This is not a happy coup. This is a very repressive coup. That's why we have to form something, no matter how small in the beginning, to tell them that not everyone is thinking the same. In World War II, there was a movement in Thailand called Seri Thai, or the Free Thai Movement, which was a group of a Thai who resisted against the Japanese occupation and the then Thai government's policy of allowing them to pass through Thailand in order to go to Myanmar and India, British India at the time. And an underground movement was formed, Seri Thai Movement, with very different purposes and objectives, of course, but it shows that the Thai people are like many free people in the world. We refuse to accept that everyone would be treated like animals in the herds of flock. There must be some people with courage and sanity to say that, no, that's not what we want. You will not get away with it easily. I admit that this organization to be formed is starting small. We don't even know that Thaksin would be supporting this. We didn't consult him in consulting this. We don't know that he and his family would fight on or not. After this happened to the family life, remember now, if it is hard to believe for you, that Thaksin came in as a businessman turned politician and tried to extend the prosperity of Thailand, did not have the slight idea that he had to revolutionize it or even reform it. It was not his intention. So we don't know how far it would go. But the group is formed anyway, because we have been lucky to have the member of the Ying Lak government and also the Pheu Thai party leader, Charupong Rueang Suwan, who got out ours before everyone was captured. He went to a nearby place in to Thailand and then now moved to a Western country. He has agreed to be the leader of this organization in the position of the Secretary General of the organization. We call it FTHD. But so what we are going to do next? We know that the situation in Thailand is so repressive and so closed. We will not ask anyone in Thailand to risk their lives, their safety, to do it right now. But we are going to mount the international help, or you might say international pressure, to help us. We like them to see Thailand as it is, not as the military junta regime would want you to believe. And then we would have a physical appearance like this, for people with doubts and questions would ask directly, how about your side? Your side has been accused of being a crook too. I'll be ready to answer all those questions in any issue that you would have. All right. So let me tell you a story instead of just being a real lecturer or anything that I'm not so keen. I asked my colleagues, what did these military soldiers ask you when they summoned you in? And they detained you for 14 days or 7 days or whatever. Most of them were released afterwards. People who are definitely or almost permanently detained would be people accused of the least majesty, which seem to be the priority right now. But for the political charges, they seem to be released now. I asked them, what did they ask you? And they said, this is from five of them. Similar question, similar wording, but the same idea. They said, why don't you love the king? What's wrong with you? Why do you love Thaksin more than the king? How stupid are you? You think or feel that way? I do not want to be critical of the questioning. That's their perfect right. But I think it teaches me a lot about what they have on their mind. Actually, what they want is the same form of the power network with the royal presence at the head of the table, presiding over the power groups in Thailand, and agree on what to do. And the ultimate game is to keep the chair of the powers that be, while letting the new players generating some new incomes for us, but we would keep them in control. So in other words, they would not and never allow the like of Thaksin again in Thailand. And that they do not allow an election. They kind of know that we might win again. And then the vicious cycle would resume and return. So Thailand is in a gridlock, but not a gridlock of the military and the people, but the gridlock of the old game and the new reality. I'm embarrassed by what happened in Thailand, because I know that my country are for freedom and equal rights no less than any others. But because my country, ladies and gentlemen, have been in the shadow of the old thinking for a long time. And some people, including some foreign friends, perceive that as being a unique aspect of Thailand. But now you know that that uniqueness also has dark sides. And now we are suffering from those dark sides in Thailand. So what do we want? We would like the whole country to have a new dialogue. The way the soldiers and the military treat the people right now who are against them are somewhat like the soldiers would treat the enemies. In Thailand, we talk about three institutions: nation, religion, and king. We thought that people would be included there somehow, but it doesn't look like it. So we have to ask for our rights. If they don't include us, we would include ourselves. But we would do it in the nonviolent way, in the unarmed way, in the way that there is country left to love and to run afterwards. I don't know how many points I have made. I didn't look at what I have prepared, but I think I would mention more points when I answer your questions and hope them to be several. The last point I'd like to say this is this. I'd like to thank my colleague here, Robert or Bob Amsterdam. He started off as Thaksin's lawyer. And to get a lawyer in the movement, people would have doubts, you know. So I looked deeper into Bob's profile, and I found that there's a human rights part of him, which is deeper, deep-rooted, actually. And his passion about Thailand grows. So we ask him to help us. We need some help with his connections, with his knowledge of the international arena, and he agrees to help. But what he plans to help us with, he would say that himself. So, ladies and gentlemen, members of the FCC, the majority of Thai people are in the north and the northeast. But the Bangkok people controlled it for so long over time. I grew up in Bangkok myself. But the point is, it's not equal, it's not fair, it's unjust. You have to love the king and love the people at the same time, so the country can be continued. If not, we would have a bigger problems than what many people see as an already big problem right now. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to discuss recent Thai history, the reasons for the coup, and the future of Thailand in about 7 minutes. What I think all of us need to understand is that the coup is a sign of weakness, not a sign of strength. To resort to a coup was the final gasp of an elite whose games at the Constitutional Court, whose games at the independent structures that were established as a result of the 2006 coup had become obvious to all as being not founded on rule of law or democracy, but founded solely on the interests of an ever narrower Bangkok elite. We need to remember that the 2006 coup led to the 2007 constitution, which ensconced the elite in the positions of power they held so that they could control the Yin Lok government or any future government, which is why I will tell you that Yin Lok Shinawat was never anything but a prime minister in opposition, because the real power was always held by the army and the Constitutional Court. And I can tell you, because I was hired in 2010 by the then former prime minister, during the Bangkok massacre, and he kindly asked me to go to Bangkok when Bangkok had been turned into a live fire zone by some of the same people who have brought forward the coup. And we had to break through the live fire zone to meet the red shirts and to attempt to negotiate with the then government of Abbasid Vejjajiva their surrender. I became impassioned about the red shirt movement when Abbasid Vejjajiva would not negotiate the surrender of thousands of unarmed civilians because he wanted them, at least their leaders, dead. That former government of the Democrats, and if you're shaking your head, you can read the indictment that we sent to the ICC. The former government illegally targeted both journalists and health workers and violated some of the most sacred spots and places in Bangkok where individuals had gone for shelter. And it is those, many of those same people who have today decided to seize power and have done it in the guise of peacemakers. People who are coming into power to find peace between the yellow and red. Nothing could be further from the truth. They blame Thaksin without explaining that there were 11 coups before Thaksin. They blame Thaksin on corruption and don't take any responsibility for Thailand, shamefully today, being tier three in terms of human slavery. And no one can believe that the army could not have a closed eye to those activities for that to go on. The situation with the Constitutional Court needs to be understood when one realizes that over 300 members of an elected legislature still face charges for amending the Constitution. Their crime was simply to vote as a majority to amend the Constitution for an elected Senate. This was a crime which would probably involve a finding of, at a minimum, a 5-year suspension from political activity in Thailand. The corruption of the courts and the, quote, independent institutions, the one that found Yingluck guilty of corruption, admittedly without evidence of corruption. And they had to admit that they were finding her guilty without proper evidence. The ruling elite that had managed the 2007 Constitution had simply lost its legitimacy and its ability to go on, and it now appears clear, as was confirmed by the Bangkok Post, that SUTEP and the PDRC movement was in fact in negotiation with the army for many months before the coup. This allegedly spontaneous series of demonstrations was well choreographed. The very structure upon which the 2007 Constitution was based put Yingluck in a situation where her caretaker government could not function, where the army would not allow normal civilian control of Bangkok. The impotence of the government and the double standards of the court were amazing. In 2010, Abbasid got orders from the court essentially allowing troops to shoot to kill in violation of UN standards. In 2013, Yingluck couldn't get a court to allow any form of peaceful control of the PDRC demonstrators. This type of double standard stuck in the throats of the millions and millions of Thais who form the majority of the population who are fed up with the Bangkok elite's behavior. How many times do they need to elect a government that speaks for the people only to watch the leaders of that government be excluded by the games of the elite? Whether it's for an exercise of cooking, whether it's for some other trumped up deal, there is absolutely no legitimacy to the behavior we saw, and that's why the resort to the army, an institution that is more divided than the populace itself. You never hear coverage of the dispute within the army that led to some of the deaths of army individuals during 2010. You're not going to hear about the disputes between the King's Guards and the Queen's Guards. You're not going to hear about the disputes within the elite. You're not going to hear about the funding of the coup by certain of the leading businesses in Bangkok. But what you do hear, time and time again, is you hear the word corruption as a mantra to justify the destruction of human and civil rights in Thailand. Corruption allegedly of only one group and sometimes only one person. And let me tell you, in Hong Kong, and I'll say it in the Western world itself, we are allowing absolutist-type governments massive control because they hide and burrow their illegality in the allegations of corruption against their political opponents. This is not only Thailand that faces that, but what we are seeing in Thailand is this national security state, and I have seen it before. I have seen it in the Latin America of the 70s. This attempt to try to portray the army as the embodiment of the state, it is absolutely reprehensible what the army has done to the palace in Bangkok. The most despised law in the people's history of Thailand is 112. And it is employed by Abhisit Vejjajiva and the Democrat Party time and time again to suppress free speech. It has nothing to do with the palace. It has everything to do with the impunity of the elite, with the impunity of the Democrat Party, and as they act for the henchmen of the army. This situation in Thailand will change, and it will change faster than those leading it can realize, because the army is not competent. It isn't competent because of its bloated and corrupt budgets. It isn't competent because it has no foreign enemy. It is the largest, most well-equipped group in Southeast Asia, which has absolutely no reason for existence other than the suppression of the majority will. Cambodia is not attacking them. Myanmar is not attacking them. China is not attacking them. Look at the size of their budget. Look at the war games they're playing with the United States time and time again, and ask yourself why that is necessary for an allegedly peace-loving country like Thailand. The bottom line to all this is, those of us who oppose what the army has done are grateful for the sanctions presently being imposed by the West, by Australia. But it's not enough. It's not enough because it is only through asset freezes and the actual tracing of where the money went between 2010 and 2014 to fund the PDRC and the coup that we will begin to understand what the real motor of repression is in Thailand. Now, I understand, and I've seen it in Bangkok, many people who are not Thai have adopted a view that it's natural in Thailand for there to be a coup. I'd love to send these people to Latin America, because in Latin America, if you're a member of the Organization of American States, you cease to function in the event of a coup. You cannot continue to exist as a state. Yet in Asia, with this theory of non-interference of internal affairs, we are told constantly nothing's changed. Well, the truth is, in the 21st century, under international law, a tremendous amount has changed. Vejjajiva and Suthep stand accused of murder in Bangkok, the first time in Thai history. Number two, under international law, the generals who have led this coup will ultimately stand trial. They have engaged in treason and sedition. And in today's environment, these acts are not forgiven. because of international criminal justice in the 21st century, it is the head of state or those commanding and controlling that are the ones liable, not the individuals who pull the trigger and wear the guns. So from our standpoint, from the standpoint of those who are trying to resist the coup, I can only suggest that the international community bands together, focuses on the situation in Thailand, and gives up the idea that we should allow a double standard to exist where coups and the military can be applauded by people who are otherwise in support of rule of law. There should be one rule of law, it should be global, and it should include Thailand. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Robert and Japrapol. I've just spoken to the speakers, and as we normally end these sessions at 2 o'clock, because some of you may have to go back to work or the such like, but the speakers have told me that they are willing to stay on for more questions from the audience, if you would like, and we let the people who need to leave at 2 leave. With that, if anyone has any questions or responses to what has been said, if you could please raise your hands now. I'm going to look around the room for the hands raised. One, two, three. Okay. All right. I'm going to go left to right on the hands raised, and hopefully we can take all 7 hands raised that we saw. First, the gentleman in the corner. If you could state your name and if you represent anyone when you stand up, and if you could formulate it in a question, that would be helpful. And I'm going to take 3 questions first, and then let speakers respond, and then the other 3. Thank you.
Thank you. John Resnick, freelance. I'm just one thing that neither of you really touched on, but I'm very curious about. The king is very old, and what do you see happening once he passes? Thank you.
So the next, I think there were 2 gentlemen in that table there.
Charlie Campbell for Time Magazine. Can I just ask Mr. Amsterdam, a senior junta general gave an interview to the BBC published today in which he said that Thaksin would be welcomed back to Thailand if he would fight the corruption charges he was convicted of. Is that a court battle you would relish, either in Thailand or in a international court?
Question also for Mr. Amsterdam. My name is David Stout from Time Magazine. Your clients in the UDD, many of them have been taken to military internment camps. And since they've been released, many of them have seemed to be muzzled. I'm just curious, what is going on in those military internment camps? Is there torture? Is there intimidation? Is there violence? There hasn't seemed to be much coming out in the media right now. What is actually going on there?
Thank you. Oh.
Firstly, I will never speak about His Majesty or anything connected to His Majesty. I try to get to I try to get to Thailand, and I won't discuss it because that would be a violation of 112, which is extraterritorial. And to be frank, nobody understands what's going on in the palace, and I think people who speculate on it, I haven't heard anything that's ever been consistent. In respect to Mr. Thaksin, I want to be clear, I'm here in my own capacity assisting this organization. I don't speak for Thaksin in respect to this organization because his family are hostages, and they're in a very dangerous and precarious situation. I will tell you that something terrible is happening in those camps because the fear and the inability even to communicate with people is frightening. I have heard many stories about what's happening in the camps. I'm not going to repeat them because I am going to do everything I can to mitigate the risks to those people. We are seeing a coup in the spirit of Field Marshal Sarit. I don't think Thailand has experienced anything like this for 2 generations. The parading on TV of some woman who'd been
incarcerated for 3 weeks and having her say that she's never been happier in her life, this type of seeming brainwashing technique, it's frightening, but I think it's very dangerous for me to start commenting, and I don't want to spread rumors that may not be true. But there's something very wrong with these camps. There's something very wrong with people who believe that they are so endangered by free speech that they have to engage in this kind of conduct. And lastly, in respect to the prospect of defending Taxson, if I was asked, I would relish it if it was in a rule of law court before an independent tribunal. This is a man who has been castigated in the media as having been found guilty of corruption when the judges were specifically appointed from a small group of people whose qualifications were based on their antipathy to Taxson. So there is no issue in my mind that he has never had any form of independent review of the allegations that were made. And again, when I put it in the context of what's gone on in Thailand in terms of corruption, you have to hand it to the Democrat Party, whose very name is such an absurdity. You have a neo-fascist organization by the name of the Democrat Party, who during their time in office jailed 365 people in 1 year on bogus 112 charges. I remember going into Bangkok while I was being investigated on 112, not knowing if I'd ever get out, and seeing posters on the highway of Abhisit holding onto a telephone, asking people to call him if they heard anything that could sound like 112. I was in jail visiting Anupong, an old man who had cancer, who was kept in horrific conditions, died without ever grasping his grandchildren again. And he was kept in this horrible condition because somebody had stolen his mobile phone and texted Vejjajeeva's office with an anti-monarchist statement. They never proved he had anything to do with it. He was jailed for years and died in jail. So I have to tell you, when it comes to the behavior of the Democrat Party and what they've done to Thailand, I sometimes feel a little exercised about it.
Thanks very much. I'm going to take the next three questions for the people I had already recognized, and then hopefully those can be responded to by 2 o'clock for those who need to leave at 2 o'clock, and then we'll take a few more questions if there are, because the speakers have graciously agreed to take them. Firstly, the gentleman at the back there.
Thank you. My name is Thani Sangrat. I'm here on personal capacity. I just want to share with you on another side of the story as well. Thai people are, like any other people in the Southeast Asia, we want to see democracy, a fully functioning democracy in our country. The situation prior to the May 22nd event was such that the country was deeply divided. It has been divided for some years. The society, the economy was dysfunctional. We already in the recession in the first quarter. There was threat of widespread violence. Even civil war, there was talk about succession from the country. These conditions, you know, it's simply impossible to hold election. What the army did was just that, to hold the two sides apart and try to give us some time to talk things through. I think we need this time, this breather space to talk among ourselves. And then they have declared clearly 15, 18 months from now they'll go through reforms, we'll make some changes, many changes, strengthening of the elections, democratic institutions. We'll prosecute corruption charges. I hope that there will be most meaningful reform as we have seen in our country in the next several months. From a Thai perspective, we have the same goal. We want democracy. We want sustainable, fully functioning democracy. I hope we can work on that in the next one year and three months or something like that. And that's something that we really need to work on. right before the May 22nd event.
Could you move to a question? I'm sorry, that's...
Just to share off my perspective.
Thank you for your perspective, if you could finish.
The point was that it's either reform before or after the election. And now we have to reform first, and then election, and then we'll see what happens.
Thank you very much. Next, there was a lady at the back standing, and then a gentleman at the edge of the table there. We'll take their questions and then response from the podium.
Hi there, I'm Laura Mannering from AFP, Agence France-Presse. My question is for Jacques Rapopankir. I wanted to just ask a question about the practicalities of the movement. Are you going to have one base overseas? There's been speculation about that. If so, have you chosen where that would be? And also, is the main aim of the movement to engage other countries, outside countries, in helping Thailand to break this cycle? Is international intervention the only way forward that you see to break the cycle? And what shape, practically, what are you trying to get people to do in these early stages?
And the other question before the response, thanks.
Robin Wong, I'm on a personal capacity. I must confess I don't know a lot about Thailand, but looking from outside, that at least before the coup, there's a lot of polarization, that there's a lot of fightings, a lot of violence, of perceived violence, and since then it seems to be relatively calm, and the stock market seems to be on the upside rather than on the downside. I just thinking that, looking on the surface, it seems that the coup is not causing that much problem as you indicated.
Thank you very much. If I may, I would like to start with the stock market. I'd like to capture the maximization of the 2 o'clock. Well, it was up, the stocks in Thailand, because it was, or it is, a temporary happiness to see our disturbances stop for a while. But now these generals, as you have seen, put themselves in charge of economic management of the country. General Prayut, the coup leader, appointed himself head of the investment board. He is going to be appointed himself, instead of the governor of the Bank of Thailand, in charge of the central fund of the country, the money supply. And many public enterprises board chairpersonship, have been changed to the generals or people who helped with the coup. I don't think the stock could stay there for a long time. Now, when they realize the true colors of this power seizure, they'll react differently. That is not what I like to see. It's my country. I don't want my country to be cheapened. And the stocks indicate the value of the country somehow. So we wish very much that this organization doesn't have to fight to the ruination of Thailand. We hope that it would be enough pressure to be mounted and this wrongdoing would be corrected before we get to that. Another question, from AFP, about the practicality of the organization. It's true, we have not made the final decision on the place where the office or the headquarters will be. But I can inform you right now that we have been in the talk with more than 5 countries, all in the Western Hemisphere, because we realize that the Asian countries have somehow been influence rather easier by the form of military dictatorship such as this. It is not to say that the West is superior, but it is to say that it's more established, it's more well aware of the tricks and the games which are being played in Thailand now, no matter how good looking the mask seems to be for certain people right now. So in other words, I believe that by July, we should be able to say where this office is going to be. It's going to be a public office, so it should be located clearly. where. And people can come to the office and inquire about our plight and our tactics and our strategies of fighting. We kind of see this as a long term. So that management is needed to be founded. And the last one that I would like to respond is the first. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. What I'm saying now is we have to work from outside in to achieve what we hope to get, because no one in Thailand can move, being so completely repressed. So we have to work from outside. Maybe it's a lesser preference, but it has to be. But eventually, changes must be made from inside. That's where we are working towards. I cannot say how many months, how many years, but no matter how long it takes, I'll be out here. I've been outside Thailand for 5 years now, so I wait for this day. I wait for this day to tell the world that Thailand is suffering from the complexity of the generational crisis, just like you. But I think we can smile broader, that sometimes you misunderstand us to be happy. So that's what we are going towards. And is that okay? Right. And for the King's question, you know that how hard it is to say that, but thank you for bringing it up. Let me say it this way. The only way that we can keep the love for the King or a King or a Queen would be to depoliticize the King or the Queen. It has been too much politicized. I don't know who did that. I think you would know better. Having asked that question, I grew up loving the King. I have been responsible for restoring many royal ceremonies on TV. I was a TV man before. And I put the royal bath ceremony on TV with the English language narration and such, internationalizing it. I was all for it. The point is, any cultural institution may not find it fitting to play a political role. And that's something that needs to be drawn as a line. The best thing at one era may not be the best thing in another. And we got to be prepared for that. We are predominantly, I'm sorry to bring a religious issue, but we are predominantly Buddhist in Thailand, 93%. So let's adopt a Buddhist ideas of not being callous, of not being just, you know, one-sided in thinking. That's all we are going to say. And His Majesty, as Bob mentioned, if that is not removed in time, it would destroy the monarchy. You cannot say that you love the King, but you cannot say one word against him. So what is that? It's a paradox. If people love him, let it be like Britain, Australia, or Japan, that people voiced out in their opposition against institution, but the majority still sustains. Isn't that a clearer mandate for anybody? So what I'm saying is, I wish that His Majesty would be conscious enough right now to understand that we do not want to change the form of Thailand. We like this structure, but the problem is that the politicized institution doesn't serve anyone well, us or you. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I see the Consul General there raising his hand, the Thai Consul General. Just one second, if you don't mind. Just because it is seven minutes past two now, and because we are very polite, almost as polite as... Sorry, please, Mister. Sir, microphone for the Consul General, please.
This is really one-sided.
It would help us to hear, the whole audience to hear. Please, Mr. Aaron, would you take the microphone so we can hear you? Thank you.
And the Thai people need not to be told to love the King, please. I love the King. Everybody loves the King. He is above politics. He will never get involved with politics. But people like somebody here, really, want him to get involved. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Consul General. Because our members are almost as polite as the Thai people, if anyone would like to leave now without disturbing proceedings, because the speakers have agreed to take more questions if you have, but if anyone would like to leave now, perhaps this might be a good time. And then if people are interested to stay because for another one more round of questions, then the speakers have kindly agreed to take that. My apologies, Mr. Consul General, just now I didn't quite hear your intention to speak. So I will take one more round of... Oh, sorry. Mr. Amsterdam would like to respond to the previous round of questions first, and then I'll take one more round of questions. Thank you.
I'd like to address two things to my friend's comment. I accept that it is nicer when things are peaceful. It feels better and it feels more ordered. But you need to understand the perception of the UDD and those others who are being brought to the camps is that this is not a situation that is optimal for discussion or reconciliation. This is the imposition by one side of their views on the other. And that's why the army using the word reconciliation is such a contradiction in terms. The army should not be playing this role. In any healthy society, the army acts on the orders of a civilian institution. It is not the political force in the country. And until the Thai army returns to its barracks, Thailand will never be democratic. There's a tremendous similarity in some ways between Thailand and Turkey in terms of the incredible power of the military in Thailand. But the military in Thailand is not self-aware. They see themselves as the proxy of the king, and they see themselves with the massive power to control the state. And even when an elected government is allowed by their grace to govern, they have an essential veto, which is their proclivity for coups. Another thing this audience should be aware of is the Thai army's use of the strategy of tension. The strategy of tension was developed in the 1970s by the CIA to control the Italian communist movement. And what the CIA did was advise the Italians on how to set up false flags. We saw this at the end of 2010 in respect to some of the alleged bombings by red shirts, which we managed to trace through the help of a Swiss witness to actual army installations. The army is very good at using these false flags to generate antipathy towards their opponents. When the army in Thailand over the next number of months wants to start easing martial law and releasing the internal pressure in Thailand, you will start seeing some of these questionable types of bombings and other activities. It's in their DNA, and in 2010, that was called the Black Shirt Movement. It also occurred in 2008. It's just something people should be aware of.
Thanks. Okay, just one quick final round of questions. I saw one gentleman there. Please, could you raise your hands to... two gentlemen there. Anyone else? Any more for any more? Final round. Yep. Okay, I see. One, two, three, four. We'll take those questions. Quick questions, please, and then we'll wrap up after the responses. Thank you.
Hi, my name is KT Nuno, representing myself. I'm actually like to form this in a question, but... I was hoping if the panelists, Mr. Amsterdam and Khun Jakapop, could further elaborate on something we call the 112, which is the Les Majesty's laws. Things. My point is that I felt that some of you, I'm not sure how well you understand the situation or the context in Thailand, but thing is that I'd like to make sure if it would be better if it come from the panelists that His Majesty the King or Her Majesty the Queen or the royal family has no intention at all whatsoever to implement the Les Majesty laws. If you could further elaborate on that, I would be grateful.
My question was in the same light. It's directed to Khun Jakapob. And,
Would you identify yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Isra. I'm here on a business trip, and I've been asked to come along. Okay, so I'd like to refer to His Majesty's speech, on one of his birthday occasions, where he clearly stated that he felt that anybody could be criticized, and no one would know that they're doing wrong unless they're criticized. So in that context, with all this talk of the so-called 112 law, the Lese Majeste, which is more commonly known, I'd like Khun Jakapob to further elaborate on that, if you could, please. Thank you.
Hi, Roger Huang, personal capacity. My question is, with the Democrat movement that you're trying to propose here, wouldn't it be a little bit more progressive or give you more sympathy if you can divorce it from Thaksin? Because obviously he's being kind of like Cupid for against your movement.
Hi, I'm David Kwan, personal capacity. I don't know too much about Thailand. My question is, who are the Bangkok elites? What's their composition? Roughly how many people are we talking about? What interests do they represent? If they're related to the Democratic Party of Thailand, what percentage of votes did they get from Bangkok or outside Bangkok, the urban versus rural communities? Thank you.
With everyone's indulgence, is there anyone else who would like to ask a question before those speakers respond and we close this event? Sarah.
It's been touched on, Sarah Monks, a club member and here in my own capacity. It's been touched on by another questioner, but I wanted to ask your sense of Mr. Chinoiset's status at the moment. We know of Julian Assange, we know of Edward Snowden. Does he see himself in a similar capacity? And secondly, if you have a sense of what China would think of what you are doing, and we are, of course, in a special administrative region of China right now. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, and now the responses, and then after that, thank you very much, everyone, for coming.
I'll address 112 as somebody who's been criminally investigated for a breach of 112 for a document which quoted the exact speech of His Majesty, where we, in the document, said His Majesty on this day made it clear he was not in favor of these prosecutions. I mean, that is our basic thesis. But I have been in prison with 112 prisoners who are forced to wear black bands, who are denied medical treatment. In one case, a lady had a tooth ailment, and she was not allowed to see a dentist. And when she could no longer eat, she had to break her teeth to allow a straw so that she could be fed. The treatment of 112 prisoners is beyond anyone's understanding. Because these people are vilified, and very often they are brought in for political as opposed to any issue relating to His Majesty. In respect to that, there's an excellent book by David Streckfuss, a Thai academic, that covers all these points. Do you want me to keep going?
Yes.
In respect to the international community, your question on China, I would suggest to you that the Chinese are one of the strongest proponents of non-interference in internal affairs. I would be very surprised if China would join the United States, the EU, and Australia in sanctions immediately. But, I certainly am not going to prejudge them. I wasn't able to hear the question.
Was just who are the Thai elites?
Well, JP should answer that question better than I can.
I think Bob has touched the issue of 112 adequately, I think. I agree with the notions. What I would like to address here is the question about divorcing from Khun Thaksin, right, and China. Well, the problem is this. There's a generational change in the way we perceive business tycoon. Even here in Hong Kong, many business tycoons used to be perceived as heroes, but that has changed too. The point is, when you are wealthy and you are successful, people admire you for that. But when you creep into a political power that seems to be excessive, a bit selfish, that's the syndrome that's in suffering. The point is this, I don't think that we should decide for the people who we should divorce. Of course, if we're going to have a pure organization in political movement, I shouldn't even be here. I'm Thaksin's spokesman. So the point is, can people distinguish between that and what we're about to do now? I would give that to the people to decide. We would go on like this and they would decide that you're not pure enough, you are polluted, contaminated. I think that the movement should consist of people who are willing to fight on and let people decide at the end, because the movement is not going to replace Thai government. It's going to be pushing for an election, free and fair, so the elected government would be in place, resume in Thailand. It's not us. And the question about China, I'm not so keen in saying that in a complex way, but I just want to say this. I want to say that a superpower, if there is one now, I believe must play many roles at the same time. I believe. That's what I know firsthand. So it's not about the superpower influences only. It's about the will of the people there. If there's a will there, it could be stronger than any external influences. That's what we are focusing. When I say outside in, I mean the operation for Thai people inside the country, not to use the outside elements to force the changes inside. So I guess that's it. But since I have done this, so let me have the opportunity to show this a little bit, you know, to give, because it's already made. So if you do not mind me doing this, it is the logo of our organization, which is called the Organization of Free Thais for Human Rights and Democracy. The logo we use adopt partially from the Seri Thai movement during the World War II. So let me stand up, I think it would be easier. So this would be both our logo and aspiration in fighting on. And it says here that we, the Thais, fight military dictatorship. We know that Thailand needs more than a fight for military dictatorship, but that would be a good start. The military establishment is instrument to all the power network which tried to keep Thailand in the 19th or 20th century. Thank you very much.
On that unexpected note, I'd like to, on behalf of the entire audience, thank our two speakers today. I'd also like to thank our audience, our members, our friends, for all their continued support of the FCC and our attempts to invite interesting speakers here. Please join me in a round of applause for today's host.